Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Heavenly Father, thank you. God, you're good, and we love you. Lord, we want to give you all the honor and glory. Use me as a vessel, Lord, as I deliver your word this evening, and may it be received with an open heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, over the last 6 months in our growth series, we've been thoroughly agitated, as well as stretched by Bishop-designates Daphne and Juanita, Elder Orlando, and Deacon Devin. We've been uprooting weariness, learning the importance of seed, the seeds that we plant, the knowledge that we must release the seed. Time bought the lessons in waiting and resting, and how we manage time while the seed is growing. And now we are coming to the close of the year in the harvest part of the growth series. And my opening verse this evening is Numbers 13, 1 through 3. Numbers 13, 1 through 3. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the sons of Israel. When Moses selected the 12 men from the tribes of Israel, they were given the task of spying out the land promised to the sons of Israel. This was just a reconnaissance mission. And reconnaissance means a preliminary survey to gain information. That's a preliminary survey to gain information. One more time, a preliminary survey to gain information. And upon reading this passage, I always looked at this as a military exercise. These 12 leaders were assembled like a military unit, the best of the best, something like a Navy SEAL team. These men were elite, respected by Moses, as well as the members of each of their tribes. The primary objectives were to gather information about the productivity of the land, how bountiful it was, and seeing that this took place in the summer so they could go and they could see the fruit and the harvest of the land and the livestock and all the growth of all the food resources. And they also were to see who was occupying the land, how the cities and camps were fortified, and what the land cover looked like. They were to go about and explore the land. The Hebrew word used here is ter, meaning to turn about or wander about, not indicating that this was taking place as a preparation for a military invasion, but to gather information that would bring a sense of hope to the people of Israel once they heard about the goodness of the land. Another purpose of them bringing back proof of how bountiful the land was pretty simple. It was to get them to stop complaining about the food that they didn't have, like in Numbers 11. They followed the orders given by Moses and returned with their reports as well as the fruit of the land requested. This is the point where everyone should have been excited because of what they saw and heard, but we know that they gave a bad report and filled that was filled with lies, yet Caleb stated that they should still go and t- take possession of the land, that they should surely overcome it. And Deacon Devin pointed out that, and he said that the land was full of big people and that the land devoured its inhabitants. More lies. And as I reread the passage, something in verse 25 stuck out to me. When they returned from spying out the land, at the end of 40 days, this vital piece of information about the mission is easily read over. The spies were in the land for 40 days. These 12 dudes, they wandered around undetected, undiscovered, never confronted, for 40 days, carrying a cluster of grapes. Elder Orlando showed us Sunday what a cluster of grapes looks like. And can I get the picture up? You got it. Now that's a cluster. And you know, that's crazy. You know, cutting something like this down wouldn't be quiet. It wouldn't be quiet even in today with the tools that we have today. So let alone the stuff that they had on hand back then. So let's just everybody take a second and just think about this. You got 12 guys wandering around a foreign land 40 days. Cutting down grapes from a tree, then they carrying the grapes and whatever supplies that they had. But that's not all though. They surveyed the entire length of the land in those 40 days, and that's about 150 miles. So the promised land was an area of 150 miles by 75 miles. So to give you a picture, if you think about it, just about everybody has gone west, or at least to, you know, in Indiana. That would be like walking across the state of Indiana. 40 days, and then the area, it would be like an area from Dayton to Lima, 75 miles north, going all the way from here to the Illinois border. You know, 12 guys going to and fro for 6 weeks, covering at least 300 miles. That's if they walked in a straight line and walked that same straight line back. Not undercover all the time. So think about it. The land was in places it was barren, but there were trees. There were mountains, but then there was desert. So it wasn't like they were covered for the whole 150 miles. But they were unseen and unharmed. But y'all still came back with a bad report. You know, that's praise enough alone. They should have been excited about that. And when I looked into this, you know, the number 40 is symbolic in both in the Old Testament and New Testament as it's thought of as a period of purging and purification. So these 40 days were actually, they were also a time of cleansing and sanctification for the 12. When they got back to Moses and Aaron, it should have been 12 excited dudes talking over the top of each other like little kids in a classroom, praising God for the promised land and what awaited them, bringing them back unscathed, allowing them to walk into the promises of Abraham, offering sacrifices as was the Jewish custom. But this was not to be because of that report that was given. And this leads me into my first point. So you might want to write this down. The harvest can be delayed, disrupted, or destroyed by placing your fears in front of your faith. I'll say that again. The harvest can be delayed, disrupted, destroyed by placing your fears in front of your faith. Now, many of you know that my wife and I, we're in the process of building a house. And the growth series couldn't have come, you know, possibly begun at a more appropriate time in our lives. The teaching of seed, time, and harvest has correlated with this entire process. You know, we knew we were going to move, but we were fearful about beginning this, even though God was telling us this was our time. And that house had come to an end, and it was time to move. We both had reasons to be hesitant. You know, she had been in that house for 24 years. This was her home where she raised our daughter. This was the first home that she purchased, and it became my home, something I never really had. You know, I had houses, but I never experienced a home like this. And we drug our feet. You know, we did. We kind of dug in, kind of like our dog does when she's out and she dig in. And we were watching all the stuff that was going on around us. There's a lot of change going on in our neighborhood, and some good, some bad. And, you know, we complained about it, but we didn't show no urgency trying to get out of our own wilderness. None, you know. And, you know, there was a fear of higher mortgage rate, fear of walking into a loan office and getting rejected. You know, we literally spent a year, refusing to accept the seed that God was trying to plant so we could have our harvest. And then one day our realtor just flat out said, he said, hey, we putting the house on the market in a couple weeks, you know, and it got real quick. So about this time, I personally had to go back into my notes from earlier in the year and about some of the notes about faith early on when Bishop was talking about faith. And I reflected on what Bishop taught us, and he said, faith in God changes what you do and who you are. And he was teaching us at that time that we had to learn to have faith for hard things. And at this time, I had to check myself. You know, none of y'all ever have to check yourselves, but I had to check myself. because God revealed to me that my faith in him at that moment just was not big at all. And because of that, it was delaying our harvest. You know, initially, we didn't plan on building a house. We tried to find something that fit us. We had an idea of what we wanted. You know, we thought we did anyway. 3-4 bedrooms, a 2-car garage, 2+ bathrooms, you know, et cetera. And we found a couple that actually fit that bill. And every time we found one that we liked, something would come up. Something would be wrong. You know, be a bad layout in the rooms. Rooms too small. Basement that had no bathroom. Price was too high. By the time we saw it, somebody else had already made an offer, you know, and sometimes they just didn't care for our colorful faces. You know, and we were like, Lord, what do you want us to do? You know, we planned to move from house to house, and that wasn't going to happen because the house had sold and we had to vacate the premises. So now we're talking rent, storage, paying movers twice because two 55-year-olds and not getting ready to rent no truck, and we ain't moving no house. Even with the help of friends, nor did we want to lose any friends by asking them to come over and help us move. And then the worst part of all was we started to listen to people. And we started looking at homes that didn't even resemble something that we wanted. You know, we were standing in the house and Tracy looked at me and she said, "Baby, this ain't us." And God was speaking to her right there. You know, right then and there, that's when we decided we're giving this whole process over to God. And the seed he was planting was revealed to us. Build. He was not just providing a house, he was growing us. You know, and the most stressful process in the whole thing to me has been me. It was me being disobedient on the day that we had to close, and I smashed my finger. And I had to call her and tell her, "Baby, can you bring some Band-Aids and stuff over here to the house because I'm bleeding?" And that's been it. So our next verse, set of verses, is Numbers 14, 1 through 11. "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the lands, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregations of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst?'" This brings us to point number two. The harvest can be disrupted, delayed, or destroyed by placing your feelings in front of your faith. The harvest can be disrupted, delayed, or destroyed by placing your feelings in front of your faith. The emotions and the lies of the 10 spies, or I'm gonna call them dudes, after returning for Canaan, you know, they were so convincing that they turned the whole congregation against Moses, who had led them out of Egypt, and Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. You know, this is a soft batch mindset, is one that we still have a firm grip on today. And if it sounds like I'm coming for the brothers, I am, because it's up to us to break the hold that it has on us. As husbands and as fathers, we got to let go of what Bishop refers to as "what about me-isms." You know, it's time for a lot of brothers to stop being so selfish that we'd rather our wives and children suffer behind our foolishness. Because Christ didn't die on the cross just to be like them other dudes. bringing discord and strife into our homes because we're feeling some type of way. If God won't feel some type of way about you, it's time you shut down them petty parties and stop whining and punking out like them other dudes. First Peter 3:7-9. Your husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. You know, a lot of times, I hear a lot of men grumbling, you know, and it's always her fault. Why she do this? Well, why I gotta act right? Because she's still doing this. She don't treat me this way, the way I'm supposed to be treated. And my answer to that is, if your wife doesn't honor you, maybe you're not honorable. If your children don't respect you, maybe you're not respectful to them. So I had to think about myself and my past and the seeds that I planted. And men, ask yourself, am I planting seeds of honor and seeds of respect? And then if your children or your wives don't know anything about these attributes, they don't recognize them, and you know, you feel like you deserve it, well, show her what it looked like. Let her see God in you, and the rest of it will fall into place. If you continue to do things your way, outside of his will, you will find yourselves in the same predicament as the sons of Israel, unprotected and destroyed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.